Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here today. The scripture that Freddie read this morning, if you listen to it, it's pretty depressing. Those closing words, and this was the end of the first half of Isaiah's prophecy, if you're familiar with Isaiah at all. He's talking to God's people, and he's focusing on their future captivity that will be endured by the descendants of Hezekiah. During his lifetime, there would be peace, but after he passed on, everything in his palace would be taken away and taken to Babylon. This is kind of a negative thing to have thrown at you. The people would enter a period of exile from their land and be forced to live under the rule of the Babylonians. From Hezekiah's remark, the last verse, you can see that he wasn't real concerned about it because he was going to be gone if for no other reason. This wasn't going to impact him. But what about those who were coming after him who would actually experience this punishment of exile? How were they supposed to react to this tragic news and impending crisis? You're just being told that you're going to lose everything you have, and you're going to be in captivity. Well, after that, there's a stark change in Isaiah. And my focus this morning is going to be on the first 17 verses of the 40th chapter, where he starts to focus on talking to these people that are going into captivity. Now, there's no changing this. This is what God was going to do. And all those who read it are going to see that that's what they're facing. God at this point starts talking to those people and encouraging them. He foresees that the continued rebellion of his people will lead to punishment, and now he's shifting his attention to giving them comfort through knowing that their God has not forgotten them in their time of crisis. Again, this is something that they're not going to avoid. Kind of like what we're in right now. We're not going to avoid being affected by this pandemic. We're not going to be able to avoid being affected by all the things that are going on in this world around us today. But the message of God blessing his people with comfort during a crisis is something we could use. This happened almost 3,000 years ago. God has not changed. He still gives us comfort in times of need. We might not be in captivity, but we are still like the people in the fact that we're surrounded by all this negativity, all these terrible things that are going on. We're right in the middle of this. And we're having to bear with it. We're having to live through it. We're having to deal with it. Well, the text of Isaiah 40 reminds us that God indeed seeks to comfort his people when they're in times of crisis. He will seek to answer the question, how it's done. Let's look at the verses, the first 17 verses, and see if we can draw some applications to us as Christians today. So, sin, rebellion, pride, and refusal to trust in God were the transgressions that eventually led God's people to be carried off into captivity. This is true when we're talking about the tribes of Israel in the north and the tribes of Judah in the south. God had sent prophets to warn them of the punishments that would come upon them if they didn't change their ways. But these stubborn people refused to humble themselves before the Lord in repentance and change their ways. You know what's worse? Many of those who are actually guilty of the transgressions will be dead before this actually happens to the kingdom of Israel. Before they're put into Babylonian captivity, the people who committed most of this atrocity are no longer even around. Therefore, there's no doubt there were a number of Jews who were only suffering the consequences and sins of their forefathers. What we're doing today as Christians, how we live our lives, the things we're doing, I don't think we're contributing to all this negativity and all this stuff's going on around us. But we're not getting out of dealing with it. So the place to go is to God. Now there remain those of Israel and those of Judah who were not guilty of the sins of their fathers. And so here is the comfort that God seeks to give them in the first two verses, where he says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, announce to her that her time of forced labor is over, her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." So he tells you it's going to be okay. Now, can any of you tell me of a time that you know of from your studies in the Bible where God did not do what he had promised? In this world today, in this life today, we are told lots and lots of things, most of which don't come true. That little old saying, if it sounds good, too good to be true, it's probably not true. Well, I'm living testimony that that's how it happens. If it's too good, it won't happen. But God is here to take care of us. He will be there for us. He will lead us through all of this. God is saying to those who would find themselves in captivity some 150 years in the future, you stop thinking of it, when he told these people about this and give them this comfort, they didn't even know for sure what they were going to face. From previous examples, they could take it to the bank that was going to happen, but what it was going to be like or anything else, they had no knowledge. But he's still telling them, be ready, I'll take care of you. It would hopefully give them comfort in knowing that if nothing else, at least they were not guilty of the sins which Israel was going to be punished for, which is something that's good. They were not in the same position as their fathers who brought this exile upon the descendants through their ungodly behavior. This leads us to understand that there is great value in recognizing that even in a difficult situation, we can be comforted with the knowledge that we're able to stand before God, forgiven of sin and righteousness. You know, we talk about the Lord coming again, and at that point, those who have obeyed will be taken, and those who haven't will suffer. God's telling them here that just because you're going through this, you're not going to suffer death. Eternal death, eternal damnation, because you've been forgiven for your sins. So that should bring some, they're still in captivity, but at least they're not under the condemnation of sin. which is the reason for the banishment. In knowing this, great comfort can be given in the midst of a crisis. This is something we would do well to remember when we find ourselves in battle in real crisis within our lives. Crisis can come in many different forms, and it's not just what's going on in the world today. We have health crises, financial difficulties. You just lost a job and had to go find a new job. Things happen. That's just part of the world. Family drama, we have cultural wars going on, and many other things. The devil, Satan, would love for us to think that during these times of crisis that all hope is lost and there's nothing positive to dwell upon. And if you listen to some people today, that's exactly what they think. It is nothing but gloom and doom. We're lost. It's sunk. The end. It's over. Right? However, if we recognize that our sins have been forgiven, and that's what he was telling those people back then, we stand justified in the sight of God. Think about it. What else matters? Really and truly, if we're justified before God, nothing else matters. We just won. It's success. We finished the race and we're number one. It's real hard, and the reason I even got into this today is because I get terribly torn. I study and I have faith, I think, and then I see what's going on and I think about what if this happens, what if that happens, how this is going to be. Laura and I are talking about, depending on who wins this election, do we have to move? Because it won't be tolerable where we're at. I mean, even go, at one point in our thinking of stuff, Laura lived in Panama when she was a child. We thought, wouldn't it be great to go live in Panama, retire down there where things are cheaper, it's beautiful, tropical weather. She grew up there for about 3 or 4 years. It would be pretty close to the same. They use dollars, and it's real. It used to be part of the United States, literally. It was our, you know, with the Panama Canal. None of those thoughts are even necessary. But we go through them. We think about, what am I going to do just after this election on November 5th? What are we going to do? Half the people here are going to be happy, and the half the people are not going to be happy. What do? You go to God. That's your answer. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't care about our health, our families, finances, or what's going on. But what it does mean is that when we lay down at the end of the day, we can be comforted by the fact that it literally, if everything came crashing down and our lives ended in that moment, that we would actually be blessed at that point. So regardless of what's going on in this world, if we're in the right place, there's no reason to even worry about it. Paul's encouragement to withstand the trials of life, knowing that those who have been forgiven will never be taken out of the loving hands and care of God. What great comfort we gain when everything might seem like it's falling around us, and simply knowing that our sins are forgiven and we rest in God's care. That's it. He also comforts us through providential care. Isaiah goes on, and this is verses 3 through 5 where we're talking about here. Isaiah then goes on to write about the time when a voice will come crying in the wilderness concerning the glory of the Lord appearing among men once again. Now the original readers of Isaiah would have not actually known what this was referring to. But we do, based on our study of the New Testament. This is talking about John the Baptist announcing the coming of the Messiah. But still, when they heard this, something to look forward to. Because because what they're facing is not going to be something that they're going to enjoy or want to even deal with. So we're able to see this as being the ultimate of what Isaiah is writing. But the original audience would simply recognize this: God is providing a way of his people to return back to Jerusalem. In other words, they saw it as the fact that we're not always going to be in Babylon. We're going to be free again. We're going to be God's nation again. So the fact that Isaiah concludes the thought with, and this is the fifth verse, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So in other words, he's saying, this is what God has said. It indicates God is going to be sure that he does what is necessary for his plans to come to pass. He will providentially care for his people and his plan. During difficult times, those who trust in the Lord must follow their hearts to be comforted by knowing that God is working behind the scenes to make sure that his will is going to be accomplished in us. Have you ever thought about that? We're going along, we're doing things. Well, we may think at times we're by ourselves or that we're actually doing this. And the truth of the matter is it's God's power working in the background, helping us to get to where we need to go.
You get up in the morning and you see stuff, you hear about stuff that's going on all around. You need to realize that whatever's going on, you're not by yourself, that God's right there with you. During difficult times, those who trust the Lord must allow their hearts to be comforted. Consider what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where he says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You know, I don't think we can pinpoint just exactly what that means, but we can gain comfort or even cite examples of it. I'm not always sure. In fact, sometimes it's years later that I realize what actually was good in what I had done. What had happened, I didn't even know it, because it was God working in me because we love him. It's something we need to think about. The Jews weren't exactly sure what the voice in the wilderness would look or be like, or how to even prepare for the way of the Lord. But they trusted that he would simply do what was necessary. Do we trust that God will get us through this, whatever we're doing, and get through us any challenge we have? Do we trust that God is going to do what he said he's going to do? Satan's out there. He's trying to get us to question these things. And again, I ask you, was there ever anything in the Bible that God said and promised he was going to do that he didn't follow through on? Have you ever had people who you had tremendous trust in and faith in that completely let you down? The man who baptized me was a Church of Christ preacher out in San Diego. I didn't even know him very well. This is because I was working with my brother-in-law, and we called Santee Church of Christ. Mickey was the guy, the preacher there, and he's the one who baptized me. We started attending that church, and I was really zealous and everything. As a new babe in Christ, I was like a sponge trying to soak up everything there was to soak up. And Mickey was a good preacher and a good man, had a good family and everything else and all this stuff. He ended up leaving his family, leaving the church, running off with another woman, and I have no idea where he is or what he is doing today. I looked at that as this man disappointed me. Well, with God, that's the one thing that you never have to worry that you might be disappointed in. Now, Mickey disappointed a lot of people, his family, a whole bunch of people. It hurt me when he did that because I had so much trust in him. That was my mistake. My trust should have been stronger in the Lord than it was. But when you're a new babe in Christ, you're looking for information. You're going to grasp onto those because reading and studying the Bible, it's tough sometimes to get it out of when you got somebody there to help you with it. So we need to depend on one another, but we need to trust God for all of it. So he comforts us with his faithfulness to keep his promises, which we've just been talking about, 6 through 11. Those reading the writings of Isaiah would be swelling with hope the thought of the Lord that's going to restore his people to their own land. But there might be some that are still questioning whether or not such things could actually come to pass. Isaiah's words in this section give assurance to those who are in the middle of a crisis to be comforted by putting their confidence in anything that the Lord says will happen will actually happen. And we need to do the same thing. Why would somebody actually possibly think about doubting what God has said will happen? The only reason I can think of is because we deal with people in this world. We deal with people we trust, we rely on to different things, and we get disappointed all the time. It might be hard for some people to really realize this is one thing, one person, one entity that will never disappoint you. Laura and I were talking last night, and she has really got to the point that whenever anything happens to her or anything else, she's going to the Lord because she knows that's the only thing that she can trust 100% of the time. See, with God and his word, there is never any weakness or temporary nature. God is all-powerful to sustain himself and his word, and there is nothing, there is nothing that has caused him to fail to keep the promises he has made. We make promises to people or commitments to people all the time. And things change. We have to change those commitments. We have to cancel appointments. We're going to go somewhere. I really can't get there today. We are constantly having to reshift our lives to get everything done that we need to get done. God never has to shift anything. He knows what he's going to do, and he does it. And it'll turn out the way God wants it to turn out. We have to do our part, but he's the one person, the one thing that we don't have to worry about whether or not that's going to get done. And I think that's tremendous. Those people that received that message from Isaiah could look back at the history and see that every promise God had ever made came to pass. Not one of his promises failed, and they have no reason to believe that it would be any different just as we have no reason to believe. And my emphasis today is really on the fact that we need to trust and we need to believe in that trust. I mean, it's easy to say trust the Lord. Sometimes it gets pretty hard to follow through with that commitment because of everything that we're hit with. He also comforts us through his knowledge, through our knowledge of his unlimited power. This is 12 through 17. Isaiah offers up a few rhetorical questions in 12 through 14, where he's asking things like, when he says, well, with whom can you compare God? With an idol? God's enthroned above the circle of the earth. He stretches out the heavens like thin cloth. He reduces princes to nothing. These are the things that are in what, there's nothing that not in God's power. So he talks about the fact that the things we deal with in man and the failings we deal with in man do not exist with God. His power is complete. We look at people in this world. See, God looks over this. We live in this world. He looks over this world. He sees it all. We deal with all the worldly things that come our way. He knows the beginning and end of all of it to start with. We need to accept the fact that he's always right. I know we say we believe it, and I say we do it, but I think at times we question that. And the better we get at not questioning God's authority, not questioning the fact that God says he's going to do what he's going to do, not questioning the fact that God will see us through anything that we're facing, that he'll give us everything we need. He won't give us anything we can't handle. And we're going through Matthew 25 in our class now, talking about the talents and just discussing the fact that the Lord only gave the one talent guy, because he knew that's all he could handle. And he wasn't even sure he could handle that. He could have if he trusted in God. God won't give us anything we can't handle. But he's going to give everything to us that he thinks we need to accomplish. He's going to give us every challenge that he thinks will make us stronger. He's going to give us every opportunity to be the Christian we want to be. We're not even going to realize all the opportunities he gives us. We're also not going to know the successes that we've had at times. You know, my brother-in-law in India, one of the things that they talk about is the number of people baptized in there. And it's in the millions now from his work over the past 25 years. But it's not a numbers thing. How many people you lead to Christ isn't important. What's important is that you're always trying to lead people to Christ. And I know from previous experience that some people were led to Christ where it started out with something I did that I never have ever, never knew them, never met them. And because of something that I said to somebody else led to something else, it's one of these things that God uses people and uses things. We can be spreading the gospel extremely well and never even know that we've done it. We can reach a tremendous number of people and never know that we've even done it.
because God's the one that's given the blessing. Our job is to keep planting that seed, keep doing it, keep striving, keep trying to be the Christians we need to be. Now, it might be easy for some to become discouraged by the lack of power that it even seems, that often seems to have as we go through the types of crisis, but we know and can take comfort in the fact that God we serve is incomparable when it comes to the power that he possesses. We don't need any power. We have God. He's all the power that we need. He gives us everything that we need. We might not see the way in which we can persevere through the crisis that we're facing, but we must remember the words of Isaiah, that the same God who sees entire nations as nothing before him is the same God that has promised us incredible and magnificent promises. He's limitless. Paul recognized that and admitted to it in 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17, where he says, "At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." So all we need to know is that God's there with us. Again, we might see the crisis as insurmountable, but God sees it as nothing. You know, at times we come up against a deadline or something where, and I'm terrible for this, where I get really flustered and really worried about, am I going to make it? Can I do it? Can I do this? More often than not, we meet the deadlines and challenges that we face. But if, when we get to those points, we just step back and think about the help that we have with us, and then just move forward and do what we need to do, it'll turn out just fine. I'm sure there's people here today who currently find yourselves in some kind of a crisis, whether big or small. If you do, and when I'm talking about this, this message is to encourage myself and get me through the stuff that's going on here, and hopefully it has been encouragement to you today. And to the God that you trust and serve is more capable and willing to give you comfort through whatever crisis you're in. He comforted Israel in their time of crisis. If you humble yourselves before his mighty power and faithful promises, I'm confident he will, in his providence, care for you in whatever need you might have and see you through it. If at the end of the day the Lord sees the current crisis as being something that you need to endure, then the best thing we have going for ourselves as faithful people is the forgiveness of sins that gives us the hope of the eternal glory in God. We're not going to get out of going through it, but we have the peace and knowledge of knowing that we've already won the race. In Isaiah 40, 30 and 31, we read, "Youths have become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and do not faint." That's what God will do for us when we need it, if we remain faithful. That's my message today. I appreciate your attention. As we go to the invitational song, we're going to ask that if anybody has any need, please make those needs known as we stand and sing.